And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. My special guest this morning is Laurie Cardoza Moore, actually coming back onto the show for the third time, so I feel like she's an old friend. You'll remember Laurie as the head of Proclaiming Justice for the Nations, and also she's been recently appointed as a special envoy to the UN on Middle Eastern Affairs. Laurie, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, tell me about this new position that you have.
Well, Dr. John Lopoli, who is the president of the World Council of Independent Christian Churches, offered me this appointment back in August, preceding my trip to Israel to present a proclamation to the leaders, to the prime minister there and the religious leaders. And, of course, because it fits within the mission of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, I accepted his invitation. It basically, Mark, will open up the door to allow those who support Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, as well as the 44 million Christian congregants of the World Council of Independent Christian Churches, to have a voice at the United Nations on behalf of Israel. And, of course, we'll be talking about the threat to Christians as well while we're there.
Now, I know that one of the, the mission of Proclaiming Justice to the Nation is to educate Christians about their biblical responsibility to stand with their Jewish brethren and Israel against this new anti-Semitism that we're seeing. How appalled are you by the anti-Semitism that we're seeing through the Occupy Wall Street movement?
Well, it really isn't surprising, Mark. If you look at what's happened historically, this is just a mirror of what has happened before in history. And unfortunately, if we do not study history, if we don't remember history, we will be doomed. The famous quote, we will be doomed to repeat it. And if you go back to even Nazi Germany to see how in Nazi Germany, as Hitler rose to power, the same sentiments were being voiced, the same opposition to the Jews, blaming the Jews for all the financial woes, saying that the Jews have power, accusing the Jews of having too much money in Wall Street and, of course, in Nazi Germany. And saying that all the Jews were the bankers and they had all the money and all the people were being oppressed by the Jewish bankers in Germany. And this is what Hitler basically fed to Germans and convinced them that, you know, we can blame the Jews. And if you look at, you can go on YouTube and you can just, put in the search engine anti-Semitism at Occupy Wall Street, and you see several videos from all over the country. It's not just on Wall Street in New York City that we're witnessing this. We're seeing it in Los Angeles. We're seeing it in other communities as well, where people are accusing the Jews, calling them Nazis. It's unbelievable. But, you know, we really saw this a couple of years ago, back after Operation Cast Lead in December of 2008, and January of 2009, we were documenting the radical anti-Israel sentiment across the globe as a result of this. And if you remember, Mark, at that time, Israel finally retaliated after months, years of having missiles lobbed on their communities, and we're witnessing it again today. Over the last week, we're seeing more missiles being lobbed in Israeli communities, you know, innocent civilians whose children have been taken out of school because for fear of another missile attack, but it's coming out of Gaza. And now it's not just Hamas that's perpetrating these attacks. Now we've got to credit Islamic Jihad, and we can thank the American citizens and our American government for this happening. And, you know, this is why it's so important that we try to reach out to Christians to give voice to this issue to our congressmen and our senators and even the president, You know, we were the ones who twisted Israel's arm and forced them to back out of Gaza. And everybody warned the government at that time, if we push Israel to do this, we will basically be setting up a terrorist state. And now, not only do we have Hamas there, we have Islamic Jihad, who has taken credit for the recent bombings.
Is it just me, or when there's collateral damage, which I guess is a euphemism for citizens being killed or injured, and when we have this type of collateral damage in Iraq or in Afghanistan, the American media goes crazy whenever a Jewish child dies in Israel? I don't see the mainstream media giving it the same coverage.
No, you know, it's funny that you bring up the media in all of this, because the media is just missing this tremendously. But it's part of a plan. It's part of a whole view to bash Israel, to accuse the Jews of causing and perpetrating this problem. In fact, it's the mentality of the world and even the media that it's okay if Israelis or Jews die, because after all, they're occupying the land. And if they just give the land back to the Palestinians, well, they gave them Gaza. And look at what happened in Gaza. And it's still happening, and it's getting worse. And we used to say under President Bush that we were fighting a war on terror, but even under President Bush, we were not willing to go in and take the battle to the border of Gaza and wipe out the terrorists. I mean, if there was any obvious place on the face of the planet, Mark, where the terrorists were operating, we're going over into Iraq and we're going into Afghanistan, but we won't go into Gaza. And we tell the Israelis, well, you're just going to have to put up with it. You know, we're sorry. You may lose some innocent civilians, but we're not going to get into this. This is unacceptable. And as Americans, we are fast approaching, you know, we're 1 year away from the elections. And if we as American citizens do not take back our government, this government operates and serves at our pleasure. We are still a government of we the people, for the people, by the people. But unfortunately, we as citizens are so busy in our lives that we're not engaged in public policy, and we're not engaged in who we should be electing, and we're not engaged in doing the research or finding the organizations that are doing the research and following them, staying educated and staying on top of these issues so that we can make an informed vote when we go into that booth next November.
Well, speaking of an informed vote, more than 50% of Jewish Americans voted for Barack Obama, and it's arguable that he's one of the most anti-Semitic, he is the most anti-Semitic U.S. president of all time. If you'll pardon my language, what the hell were they thinking?
I know. I don't understand it myself. I think there's a commitment to for members of the Jewish, certain members of the Jewish community. You will find that the more conservative to Orthodox members of the Jewish community are conservative in their politics, and we witnessed that back in New York with Wiener's seat. And so we've got to continue to educate and try to reach across and try to get those members of the Jewish community to understand that if we don't have a secure Israel, then the whole world will not be secure. And there's a saying by one of the sages that says that that a world without Israel is like a world without its soul. And it goes back to the scriptures in Genesis 12:3, where God said, when he told Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. So there's a blessing for all of us. But, you know, Mark, it leads me to the next statement that I want to make. And the Jewish vote, yes, it's important, but it doesn't carry the significance that the Christian vote has. And this country, we are still 82 or 87% of Americans profess to be Christians. We have the power to make a difference with our vote. But we elect people like President Obama because we drank the Kool-Aid as Christians. We're uneducated on what he stands for. We put the blinder over our eyes and say, oh, no, we want change, and he really is well-intentioned. Ladies and gentlemen, he is not well-intentioned. He is not a Christian. You don't sit under a black liberation theologist pastor. He's not even a pastor. I can't even call him. He's not a pastor. He's a black liberation theologist teacher. You don't sit under him for 20 years and think that you're going to have a Christian who is representing our country, or he's going to implement the Christian values he was raised with. He doesn't have Christian values. He spoke at Notre Dame before he was elected, and he covered up the religious symbols. And we see now at that one Catholic university, the Muslim students are complaining because they have to pray around a bunch of Christian symbols. Well, you know something? What did they want to do? They wanted those symbols removed. It's the same reason when Obama went into Notre Dame to speak that he covered up those symbols, because he couldn't speak with those symbols right there present.
I couldn't imagine a Catholic kid going to a madrasa and saying, by the way, can I
put
up a few Catholic symbols? Yeah.
Yeah, can I put up a cross with Jesus on it? Please,
just to show that I'm not picking on Jewish voters. I'm Catholic, and over 50% of Catholics voted for Obama. And I was having conversations, Lori, prior to the election with people that I assumed were somewhat intelligent. In fact, this one lady was a physician and a close friend. And we were a couple of weeks out from the election, and this is a woman who has, you know, pro-life bumper stickers from one end of her bumper to the other. And I said, jokingly, so have you decided who you're going to vote for? And she said, well, you know, I'm really still thinking it over. And she was in the middle. Yes. And she was in the middle. She was in the middle of reading, Dreams from My Father. And, you know, I really, this Obama guy, I think he can really make a difference. And I'm like, you know, I can't say her name on air, but I was like, look at his voting record.
my gosh.
Pro abortion guy out there. And go ahead.
You see, this is the problem, is that Christians have drank the Kool-Aid too, and it's not just a problem within Catholicism. It's also in the Protestant Church. I can't tell you how many pastors I've spoken to who've actually said that God told them to vote for Obama. I'm like, okay, you know what? The Bible says that, we know that there are two spirits that are operating in the world. And either one spirit is being led, either it's the Holy Spirit or it's the Antichrist spirit. But how do we know, Mark, which spirit we're listening to? The way we know is, does the voice that's speaking to us tell us to do or support that which is against God's biblical mandate, against God's word, against God's Torah, or his Septuagint for the Christian community? If a spirit is telling us to do something or support a candidate whose values do not reflect the biblical values, the Judeo-Christian values that are established in God's word, then we need to run from that voice quickly. And that's how we know. And if we're not educated about the Bible, and this is why our mission is so important at Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. And I want to encourage your audience to visit our website at pjtn.org and register to get our daily blog and get our newsletters and our media alerts. Stay informed, and then use those tools to educate and reach the 6 feet of space around us. We can make a difference, Mark, if just your listeners and the listeners who tune into the television program that we produce or the radio interviews that I do, if they will just be informed and then start working on reaching out to the people in our sphere of influence, we can make a difference. We have a year to do it, but we've got to be informed, we've got to stay educated, and then we've got to be committed to the cause. Because look at it, Mark. You know, it's our kids' lives. It's the next generation and the generations after us that are at stake. Our lives will pass away one day. We won't be here. But what are we leaving for future generations? We have a responsibility to uphold justice and righteousness. We've always been that to the world. And if we bow down to this political correctness, what are we leaving for our kids? Because I can assure you, we will have Sharia law that will become law of the land, and the Constitution will go by the wayside because people are not willing to defend it with their lives anymore.
Speaking of Sharia law, one of the things that has always, I shouldn't say amused me, but one of the things that I've always found somewhat hypocritical on the part of the left is that they claim to be, they being the Democrats, the party of women's rights, the party of female equality, yet I've not heard a single left-wing female organization speak out against Sharia law. Not one. Now, if you interviewed all these kids down at one of the Occupy movements, whether it's in Oakland or New York or Philadelphia or wherever, and asked them, is it right to discriminate against African Americans? They would say, oh, no, of course not. And then if you were to ask them, should you discriminate against women based on sex? Oh, no, that's very wrong. Should you discriminate against anybody based on anything about them? Oh, no. And then, well, then why are you holding up the anti-Semitic, to hell with Jewish bankers sign? And I doubt they could give you an answer. So what do you think? What is our obligation as Christians? Should we be grabbing Bibles and walking into the middle of the Occupy movements and trying to teach them the wrongness of their ways? How do you teach these kids? First of all, it's stupid to assume that 100% of bankers are Jews. And it's also, you know, they're also way off on what caused the economic meltdown. But what do we do as Christians? What's our obligation to try to put these kids on the right path?
Well, we've got to continue to go in and we've got to educate them. And unfortunately, the majority of people that you're going to find at these Occupy Wall Street events are not going to listen. But those people, they only represent a small minority of the community. What we need to be doing is focusing on educating our family, educating our friends, so that this will go by the wayside. It will not take, right now they're trying to launch a massive movement. It's really the same spirit of what we saw happen with the Arab Spring. It's trying to overturn a government or the values of the United States of America. And these,
let me jump in just a second. When you talk about the Arab Spring, aren't we seeing some of the same players involved? Code Pink, Bill Ayers, groups, people
That's
like
right.
that. Groups,
well, not only that, Mark, but the newest group are the supporters of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. CARE was one of the unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation, where the FBI shut the doors of that supposed 501c3 organization because they were raising money to support terrorist attacks in the Middle East and against American interests. And unfortunately, most Americans are unaware of that. And CARE now adding its name to this, what do you see happening at a lot of these groups now? Now you see these imams who are coming out and praying and saying Allahu Akbar at these Occupy Wall Street. Oh, and basically what they're trying to do is get in and say, look, we're with you, we support you. And what is it going to do? It's going to fool a bunch of young, naive kids who don't understand. They're not even old enough to understand what we're going through. They've launched something. It's much like what happened in Egypt. Egypt started because a group of youth who were well-intentioned wanted to change the government. But what happened was the Muslim Brotherhood saw the opportunity and seized it. And so they started shipping in terrorists from Gaza and all over the region to start showing up at Tahrir Square, where all this violence started erupting. And now what do we have? And here we say, oh, we've got to let, you hear the press and you hear Obama and everybody else say, oh, we've got to let democracy have its way in the Middle East. This is wonderful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, democracy, the democracy that we understand here in the United States, where we have freedoms to voice our opinion, is not the democracy they're talking about, because look at what's happening in Egypt. We have the Muslim Brotherhood who are now coming to the surface, and it looks like the Muslim Brotherhood is going to have a voice in the government, the majority voice. And thanks to your tax dollars, we helped set up a Muslim country, a Muslim government. Now, Hosni Mubarak was a dictator, and I don't support dictators, but you know what? He was the only one who would talk with Bibi Netanyahu. He was the only one that would that the Christians, the Coptic Christians in Egypt said, look, when this all was unfolding, they said, we don't like Hosni, but he's better than the alternative, because they knew if Hosni Mubarak is ousted, it is not going to bear well for the Christians, and i.e., here we are. We have Christians who are being slaughtered in unbelievably in Egypt like never before. And they warned us. The Coptic Christians who were on the ground were sending out emails. They were sending out messages on Facebook warning us, don't support this. This is not going to be good for us. And sure enough, now we've got Christians being slaughtered. In fact, when I was in the United Nations a couple of weeks ago, we had a meeting with all the NGOs. There were about 200 NGOs there, into which I'm a non-governmental organization member through the World Council of Independent Christian Churches. And, of course, when I asked the question of the Secretary General and the Undersecretary, I reminded them about the Christians who are being slaughtered, and not just in Egypt, but in Iraq as well. And our soldiers have spilled, there's blood in that land, in that soil. Our own soldiers have died to give them democracy. And what did it do? It caused that leadership to start coming against the Christians too in Iraq. Now the Christians, the numbers of Christians living in Iraq is dwindling down because they are being attacked. And I addressed this to the Secretary General's office, and I said, you know, we've got Christians being slaughtered in Egypt and in Iraq. You have missiles being lobbed down on innocent Israeli citizens and families, men, women, children, and babies being slaughtered in their bed at night while they sleep. And I asked the Secretary General's office, I said, what efforts are you putting forth? What are you doing to address this human rights violation? This is outrageous. You know, and all these people, Christians and Jews, are being slaughtered because of their faith, because they're not Muslim. And, of course, the Secretary General, the Undersecretary, responded and said, yes, this is a huge concern for us, and we want to work with your organization. So we will be, World Council of Independent Christian Churches and PJTN, will be having a voice on this issue, and I will be heading back up to New York City the first week of December to meet with the Undersecretary to start dialogue about this issue and talking about ways that we can start having an impact and influencing that region in order to protect Jews and Christians. But it's unbelievable that here is a UN body. Another thing, Mark, that's interesting about the United Nations while we're on this subject is the UN was formed out of the ashes of the Holocaust and World War II. This is also the entity that God used. There's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah that talks about a nation being born in a day. And God was talking about, Isaiah was prophesying about Israel being established in a day. Well, we all can look back in history and in 1948 actually see that prophecy that Isaiah prophesied thousands of years ago came to fruition. And God used the UN, that entity, in order to establish the prophecy that was prophesied by Isaiah. Unfortunately, the United Nations has forgotten her humble beginnings. And what we hope to do, because of the non-governmental organizations, and the reason why the NGOs are so important at the UN is because the Secretary General, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, wants to start using the non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, in a greater capacity to execute his agenda. And so he is reaching out to organizations like the World Council of Independent Christian Churches and PJTN to help him accomplish his vision for what he wants to do. So we are going to have a voice in the United Nations. In fact, the World Council of Independent Christian Churches with PJTN will be the only Christian voice in the United Nations defending Israel. Of those NGOs, of the 200 NGOs that are registered, 187 of them, Mark, are Christian. But nobody's speaking out on behalf of their Jewish brethren in Israel. Mm. And so our mission is to go in there and start working with the Christian NGOs and starting to dialogue about this issue to start getting more Christians to support Israel.
We've only got a couple minutes left. Tell my listeners how they can find your website, how they can get involved, getting your newsletter, if they wish, making a contribution, and you know, just what they can do to support your efforts.
Oh, Mark, thank you. The listeners can go to pjtn.org, and not only can you sign up to get our daily blogs, our newsletters, our action and media alerts, but there's also information about our new television show on the God's Learning Channel. You can click on the link, and it'll take you. You can see what times the program is broadcasting. We also have Christian Television Network. We're broadcasting a 30-minute infomercial about this new anti-Semitism. So there's all kinds of ways to get informed and stay educated on this issue, and then opportunities to take action.
Now, your organization has also produced a few movies. Tell us about that.
We have. We produce programs that we will be distributing at the upcoming National Religious Broadcast Convention. The two documentaries that we have produced is The Forgotten People, Christianity, and the Holocaust, and that one is on this new anti-Semitism that we talked about earlier. The other film is Lest We Forget. It's a mini-documentary warning us as Americans that if we forget what happened at 9/11, we unfortunately will go by the way of history, like many other nations, democracies, historically. We cannot turn our back to what happened on 9/11, and we cannot be lulled to complacency. We've also have a music video that you can on the new anti-Semitism that you can share with the youth, because we've got to reach the next generation. And our next film project, a documentary, it's called Israel: As the Nations Divide, God's Land. Again, Mark, all of our films are produced for a Christian audience because Christians make up the largest voting bloc in this country and in a lot of countries, Western countries around the world. But Christians don't know they're supposed to stand up. So our goal is to educate them through the media and then inspire them and motivate them to action.
And you have received praise from your peers in that one of the films was both nominated for an Emmy and the recipient of a Telly Award, correct?
That's correct. The Forgotten People, Christianity, and the Holocaust actually nominated for an Emmy. We received two Telly Awards, and Lest We Forget received the Liberty Film Festival Award as well. So we are producing award-winning programs that are broadcasting in 214 countries around the world, and we're hearing from Christians in Indonesia, from India, the UK, all over. India has been really interesting because we've already had three people who have asked us to come and bring our film to India that they want to hear about Israel. So it's really exciting to see how other parts of the world, Christians in other parts of the world, are getting it. And so yes, we you know, it's interesting because Representative Congressman Alan West just made a statement a couple of days ago about the media and how the left and even radical Islamists are using the media and exploiting the internet and broadcast media against the United States and in support of radical ideology that we don't support and adhere to. And unless we provide the alternative in media, then we're going to be in trouble because people are going to tune in. I mean, we're looking at television shows that are glorifying Islam and Muslims to make it look like, oh, well, your neighbor is just like you and they're struggling to live out their faith just like Christians are. But you know what? The ideology is different. We as Christians are not taught to go and kill the people who don't agree with us or the people who won't accept Jesus as their Messiah. When you're dealing with radical Islamic extremists, there is no negotiating with them. Either you will bow your knee to Allah or you will be conquered. and we can look historically at how that has happened. So it's important that we utilize the media with truth and with facts, and then, of course, always with the call to action, Mark, because once you're educated, you can't just hold that information within yourself. You've got to start sharing it. We've got to take a stand, Mark. It is our children's, our children's salvation that we're talking about here. If we want to leave anything for our kids and our grandkids, we've got to take action now.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm working on here, a project that I'm working on here in Texas, is that I'm trying to start a conservative film night, and we may introduce a few of your films there and, of course, make them available for anyone who wants to purchase them afterwards. And I think this might be a great way to kick off that project. So I'll be talking with you about that. We are out
Very
of time,
good.
But it's always a pleasure having you here, and I hope you'll come back and keep us informed on your efforts at the UN.
You betcha, Mark. Anytime. Thank you so much for inviting me on the program, and God bless you for everything that you're doing.
God bless you as well, Lori. Great having you here.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar, a production of the Conservative Broadcasting Network.